Today's daf in Masechet Zevachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah at the bottom of Chof Zayin Amud Beit. And whoa, today is like our basic dinim of Shrut of Machsheves Shrut Echut of Chutzesmanoi and Machsheves Chutzlemekemai. And all of the things that we've been talking about in the past finally coming together in today's Mishnah. So, Zokter Heleke Mishnah. Hashochet et hazevach, lizrok et domo bachutz, o mitzat domo bachutz. Somebody shechs in order to do a zrika bachutz, or for that matter, it doesn't have to be all of the blood, even if some of the blood he had in mind to be zarek bachutz. Or, la'akter emurav bachutz, to burn anything of the emurim that belong on the mizbeach, even a little bit of it, miktzat emurav bachutz. Or, la'echol besoro bachutz, o kezayit mi besoro bachutz, or to eat some of the meat that was roi la'achila, even if it were only a kezayit, that would be enough to make it into a pigo. Or, for that matter, it wouldn't have to be its meat, even if you had in mind to eat from the fat tail's skin. And we're going to see what the point is in mentioning that. All of these cases are the pigul that we call chutz lemekomo. But pigul chutz lemekomo does not make the achila of the basar an iser koret. So remember again, let's make sure that we understand this clearly. There are two completely separate components of every act of pigul. One is the matir, when the machshava was made. So you could have a machshava at any one of those four steps. Shchita, Kabbalah, Holacha, or Zrika. But what is the machshava? The machshava is to do something. We'll talk about what that something is. So there's numerous things that you might think of, but to do that something, either chutz lezman or chutz lemekoma. Right now we're talking about chutz lemekoma. And chutz lemekoma is different than chutz lezmano because there is then the third component, which is, okay, what happens if you do pigul to the basar of the korban? That's the third question. Okay, so the matir, we know what the matir is. What the thing that you're thinking of is either achilat hamizbeach or achilat adam. But remember that achilat hamizbeach could be zrikas adam, or it could be shvicha shirayim, as we saw earlier. Those are all things that you feed a nice, healthy mizbeach that enjoys drinking dam and even shirayim of dam. And, of course, it could be anything that was roi for the mizbeach. If it's a korban oila, it could be the meat. If it's a regular korban, then it would be limited to the emurim that are roi for the mizbeach. And it could be achilat adam, which would mean anything that would be suitable for achilas adam in the korban. If you were going to eat that at the wrong time, then that would passel the korban. Okay, now, what was passeled? Well, that's the third issue. What was passeled was the korban itself at this point. For your eating that korban, you turned it into pigul, and that means if you ate it, you would be over on the iser of achilas pigul. However, there's two separate iserei pigul, as we're going to see. One is chutz lemekomo. It doesn't say anything about achiyav kores on chutz lemekomo. It's an iser lav. But the other, if the pigul machshava was chutz lizmano, then actually the meat becomes an iser koretz. Not to eat it chutz lizmano, to eat it even right now, 1 minute later, when it's perfectly kosher, other than the fact that you had this machshava. And when it comes to the chutz lemekomo, even if you ate it chutz lemekomo, you actually ate it chutz lemekomo, there would be no iser of koretz. So from one extreme to the other, when you're talking about shchute chutz lizmanai, with that machshava, even if you ate it immediately, betoch zmano, there would be an iser koretz. If you're talking about chutz u'mekomo, then even if you, a machshava of chutz u'mekomo, even if you actually did go ahead and eat it chutz u'mekomo, there would be no iser kares. So the second part of the Mishnah now describes the same situation with a machshava of chutz lizmano. So remember, the yisod of the issue of pigel is a violation of dimensional constraints. If that dimension is spatial, it's not a chi of kares. If that dimension is temporal, it is a chi of kares. And as we've explained in the past, anything that has to do with zman is a greater level of specificity. That's why Shabbos is the marker of Kedusha. It's the specificity of time. It also creates dinim of specificity of place, which is why we have the Yetzias of Shabbos, we have the Rishuyas of Shabbos, and so on. But the issue of the Shabbat per se, its Kedusha, is the Kedusha in time. And that's the Mikar of the Kedusha, which is actually why we read in the Parsha of the Mayadim, we read at the beginning about Shabbos, even though Shabbos is not Moadai Likrotam Moadam, because it happens without your Kriya. So this is the important yesod. Time violations are chi of kares, not in what you're doing with the machshava, but if you ate the result of what it is that you did with your machshava. And the issue of the chutz l'mekomo is an iser lav, not what you did. That's a separate lav to create a psul in kodesh. To have a machshava spiegel, that's a lav. That is not kares under any circumstances. But the achila, if it would be chutz l'mekomo, is a separate iser lav, and the achila of chutz lizmano is the iser kares. So I've repeated it about 10 times now, and hopefully that should make it very clear. And let's read now the second piece in the Mishnah, which talks about the violation of the zman. On the other hand, if the machshava was lizrok damo lemachar, you were going to throw the dam under the mizbeach tomorrow, or miktsat damo lemachar, or lahaktirei murav lemachar, or miktsat murav lemachar, or to eat some of it lemachar, or even to eat just the kizayit of it lemachar, or for that matter, even to eat a kizayit from what is not normally what you'd think of as food, but the skin around the fat tail tomorrow, all of that is pigel, and there, since it's chutz lizmano, you would be chayev kares for eating it. And we're going to see what the makor for all of these distinctions in the Torah, we're going to see as we go through the Gemara. And the truth is, I would advise you to make it easier for yourself to have a Chumash Vayikra handy so that we can actually look inside and see the psukim, because it makes it so much easier. Now, just that last little piece about eating the Or Ha'alya, Sivaruha. Now, the thought was, when we heard that, is that when it says that you're supposed to be makriv the aliyah tamima on the mizbeach, which is what it says, v'kriv mizevach hashlamim the chelbo ha'aliyah tamima l'umat ha'atzeh yisirena, and so on. So that means that the aliyah is actually supposed to be burned on the mizbeach. And we originally assumed that that would mean that you would be chayiv to also bring the or of the aliyah on the mizbeach. But if that is true, we're getting into a big problem. Why? Well, because if Gavi takes out his magic wand, don't wave it because it could attract attention out there, Gavi. So if it's really for eating the or aliyah and that's meant to be on the mizbeach, so then we have a big question. Is machshava miachilat mizbeach la'adam? Is that considered to be a machshava? Because we're going to see very soon, tomorrow actually, that the din is that only if your machshava to eat was to eat something that is normally eaten, and your machshava to put on the mizbeach would be to put on the mizbeach something that is normally burnt on the mizbeach. But this apparently is going against that Mishnah, because it's saying that even if you thought to eat something that belonged on the Mizbeach, assuming that the Oraliyah belongs on the Mizbeach, and you're taking it to eat for yourself, that is okay to create pigel. It doesn't have to be a specific achila meant for the one who's going to be eating it. Omar Shmuel, well, it's true that that's against the Mishnah, but there is a shita like that, and that's Rebbe Eliezer. And this is the Gavi rule, with a bracketed ain at the beginning. Mechashvim miachilat mizbeach laachilat adam, umiachilat adam laachilat mizbeach. That if something that was meant to be eaten by you, so let's say the meat of a shlomim, you had a machshava to put the meat of the shlomim on the mizbeach, or vice versa. Something that was meant to be put on the mizbeach, and you had a machshava to eat it yourself, either chutzuzbanu or chutzulnekoma, that would be actually a pigo. It's not in the Mishnah we learned, ha-shochet et ha-zevach. Le'echol davar she'en darko le'echol. La'aktir davar she'en darko la'aktir. It's still kosher, because it's either chutzuzbanu or chutzulnekoma. It makes no difference, because it's still kosher, because a machsheves pigo has to have, remember, not only the component of the machshava at the matir time, but it has to have the component of what it is you're going to be doing chutz l'zman or chutz l'mekomo. And in this case, this is not something that is nogea the carbon, because you're talking about eating something that belongs to the mizbeach. I mean, you know, what is that has no relevance at all. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer says, no, it does. Achila is achila. And it doesn't matter whether it's achila of the burning on the mizbeach, which is the consuming, and it's the same process, it's just one is a bit slower. You don't usually have a fire in your tummy, at least not if you have those nice pills, Tums or whatever. So it's basically the same process in which you are digesting the food, or the mizbeach is digesting its food. And therefore, Rebbe Eliezer says it's posel. So that means that the achila of the or of the arya, even though it belongs on the mizbeach, is enough to create, if it's kutzlizmana, an isra lav to eat them, to eat it, and to eat, and not it, but to eat anything of that korban. And if it's kutzlizmana, it's an isra koris to eat anything in that korban. Now, hold on a minute. You're trying to say that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Eliezer. Our Mishnah cannot be going like Rebbe Eliezer, my dear sir, because the very next piece of our Mishnah, which we're going to see tomorrow, says, Ze HaKlal. The general rule is that any of the four matirin, anybody who is shochet, or mikabel, or molich, or zorek, in order to do either Le'echol davar she'darko le'echol, or la'haktir davar she'darko la'haktir. If it's chutzul nekema, it's kores, and it's not kores. If it's chutzul zmano, it is pegol. But anyway, the point is that the Mishnah stresses specifically only a davar she'darko le'echol. That's the rule of our Mishnah. It's the end of this Mishnah. Davar she'darko le'echol, yes, but a davar she'en darko le'echol, no. And that's the Rabbanan who specifically argue with Rebbe Eliezer. Now you're telling me that the Mishnah opens up, taking for granted that the Shita is Rebbe Eliezer, because it says the Or Ha'aliyah, which is actually not meant for your consumption, and the Seifa, which says Zaklau, is going according to the Rabbanan. Now this makes sense to you? How do you explain that? Amalei said, Shmuel, well, sometimes you got to swallow the bullet, you know. What can you do? It's clear that's the only way to understand it. So, we'll have to say that the first part of the Mishnah is Rebbe Eliezer, because we're assuming that the original assumption was correct, namely that the or of the Aliyah has the same din as the Aliyah, and it belongs on the Mizbeah. Ravuna Amar. Look, the assumption was wrong, because the Or Ha'aliyah, actually, the skin is not meant to be put on the Mizbeach, and it can be eaten by the Adam, and therefore it goes even according to the Rabbanan, because this is a davar that is not Darko L'Haktir, it's actually Darko L'Achel, if you're going to do anything with it. Where do we get that from? Says Rav, am I Taima, the Ravuna? Read the Pasuk. What it says over there is chelbo al yatmima, which is mashma, only the chelev of the alya, and not the ora alya. The ora alya isn't fatty, and therefore that's not what you're supposed to be bringing on the mizbeach. That's a completely different approach to Shmuel's. Rav Chista Amar, this is now another way to understand our Mishnah. It could be that our original Machshava was correct and we're talking about the or of an alya is ke'alya. But we didn't tell you what kind of alya, did we? Ha-ha. The only alya that you bring on the Mizbeach is a keves. But when it comes to a gedi, which has an alya, I mean, it's not very fat. It doesn't look the same way that a keves' nice big fat tail is and covers up hanging over like a big piece of meat. But it is called an alya, and we're talking about a goat, but alya shel gedi. And over there, the pasuk beferish excludes bringing the alya to the mizbeach if it's a gedi, in which case it is roi lachilas adam. So that makes the whole thing very simple. Okay, so now we've got three different approaches. Why doesn't everybody want to say like Shmuel's approach, that the Mishnah was going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Mechashrim, Miachilas, Mizbeach, Lachilas, Adam? Well, that's obvious, isn't it? I mean, the last thing you want to do is to split up a Mishnah and say, well, there's no choice. We'll have to say the Reisha is going like Rabbi Eliezer, and the Seif is going like the Rabbanan. Eh, if I can find an alternative to that, I'll take anything. Okay, so that explains why nobody wants to say what Shmuel says. Because Sefer Rebbe Eliezer, rather Resha Rebbe Eliezer, the Sefer Rabbanan, is a very unsatisfactory way of understanding the Mishnah. So that's clear to me. The reason, however, now we don't want to say like Rav Huna. So why does Shmuel and Rav Chista reject Rav Huna's approach that Ora Alya is not Ka'alya? Because they disagree with that diak of his, which is the chelbo. It's chelbo and the alya, and the simple meaning of chelbo in conjunction with the alya is that yummy, the best part, the most geschmack part. We always call that chelev if it's the meaning of it is the richest and the most nourishing. That's all that it means, chelboa alya tmima. The nicest part of that carbon. Remember the story in Masechet Pesachim where that goy said he fooled the Jews into giving him a part of the carbon Pesach. And so brilliantly, he asked specifically for the alya because he was told by Rabbi Yudim and Bezerra, just ask him for the alya. Who told you that? Rabbi Yudim and Bezerra. He said, that's the best part. It sure is, but you're dead. They killed him. Because it was obvious that he didn't know that the alya belongs on the Mizbeach. It just means that's the best part, right? And therefore, they don't want to say Rav Huna, who says, no, it means literally only the chelev of the alya and not the or of the alya. They assume the alya is an alya and the or alya is ka'alya. Okay. And what about Shmuel or Rav Huna? Why don't they want to say the Mishnah is talking about the alya of a gedi? They say because then what's the point? I mean, Micah Mashmalan, what's it telling us? It's telling us that the skin of an alya of a goat is an alya and therefore it could be eaten. I mean, that we know. The only problem over there, we know that it doesn't go on the Mizbeah. So why would we think it's not considered to be a food? Because skin is not usually food. However, the skin, here we're talking about an animal's hide, but the skin around the alya is considered to be edible because we have the Mishnah in Chulin and Orva Harotev that describes all of the various types of skins that have a din of basar because they're very soft. The Elu She'orotem Givisaran, and it lists various types of things where even the skin has a din of meat and it's edible. And one of the examples is the Or Shetachat Alya. So if that's the case, I don't need to mention this over here. It's just throwing in gratuitously This din about the Alya, that can't be what it's referring to. Must be it's referring to the Alya of a Mizbeach, something that belongs to the Mizbeach, which is a Keves. Now we can argue about, okay, why is that true? But to tell me it's talking about a goat, there's no Chiddush in it. Hey, Reb Chista, you know, they're right, aren't they? No, says Reb Chista, they're wrong. I still need the Mishnah, even though I have that Mishnah in Chulin. Because I would have thought that whole Mishnah is only in the context of Kabbalah's Tuma. So there what it's saying is, since the or of the Alya is rochich, it's soft, it's mitzarev to be able to have a shear so that we can have enough for a kezayit in order to be metame tumas ochlin. In this case, we were talking about to be bekabel tuma, and in order to be metame, it can be mitzarev to a piece of meat in a shear of a kibetza. But over here we're talking about eating something that is meant to be eaten by the Kohanim. And this is not something meant, I'm not saying it's not edible. I'm just saying it's not meant to be eaten by the Kohanim. Why? Because the Lashon of the Matnas Kohuna of Kachim is Anina Tati Limashcha. It's supposed to be eaten as an act of nobility and specific. It's legidula. And certainly the skin of the fat tail is not something, isn't it a proper dish to set before a king? No, it's not. And since lo avde melachim da achleachi, I would think that since it's not the way that you're supposed to eat kachim, it would not be considered to be an achila that would be able to create pigo. That's why our Mishnah has to tell us, even Benogea, the halacha of Pigo, we still consider the Or Ha'alya to be part of the Basar of the Korban. Ask the Gemara, is this really true, though, what Rav Chista is saying? Because Meitve, Hashochet, now look at this word, Hashochet et Ha'ola. Now it specifies over here a Korban Ola. So somebody shechts an Ola with a machshava, la'akter kizayit mi'or shetachat ha'alya, chutz lemekomo, very strange bright that focuses specifically on the or tachat ha'alya, and specifically on a korban ola. So we got to figure out what is this about. So if the idea was to eat it chutz lemekomo, it's possible, but there's no iser karis, because there never is an iser karis or chutz lemekomo. But if his intent was to eat it chutz lezmano, then indeed it's pigo, and you'd be chayiv a love chorus. Elazar ben Yehuda ish avedlim omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikus used to say this over mishum Rabbi Shimon. Echad Echad or beta pirasot shobeimad daka. Around the hooves of small animals, like sheep, small sheep and goats. So around the hoof, there's very soft skin, which I'm sure you've noted ever looking at it. It's very clearly very soft in the transition between the hoof and the actual leg. So there's this, it looks very, very soft. Or echad or harosh shel egel harach, if you're talking about a suckling egel, which is a calf, so it's young and suckling, and its head, the skin on its head, is also very soft. The echad or shetachat ha'alya, remember again, we're talking here about an ola, or whether you're talking about the skin which is underneath the fat tail, which of course is what we've been talking about. The chol shemanu chachamim gabei tuma, everything that appeared in the Mishnah about siro for tuma in Mesechet Chulin in Perek Ha'orva Rotev, and that begins with, quote, ve'elu she'orotayim kivisaran, and benogea kachim, the extra thing that I didn't mention over here, is actually the Orshel Beit HaBoshet. If we're talking about the vaginal skin, which is very soft, of a female animal, all of those things are edible, and therefore, if the Machshava was chutz l'mekomo pasul, ve'in bo karet, chutz l'zmano pigul, v'chayavim alav karet. Now, here's the point of my question. How do you explain, Rav Chisda, the fact that it specifies over here only if it's an oila? But what if it would be anything else besides an oila? Then this would not be true. Okay, now how do you explain that? So, I mean, if you're going according to Rav Huna, who holds that the Or HaAliyah does not have a din of Aliyah in order to be considered a part that belongs on the Mizbeach, now I understand. Because according to him, it has to be an Oila and only an Oila, because the only time that we're going to put it on the Mizbeach is if it's an Oila, because an Oila, we put everything on the Mizbeach. But if it would be something else, then Rav Huna says, see, that's why we specified an Oila. But Rav Chisda, who holds that it's considered to be Or HaAliyah, has the same din as the Aliyah, and it belongs on the Mizbeach, even if it's not a Karban Oila. It belongs on the Mizbeach because it's the Imurim of a Karban that is a Keves, no matter what kind of Karban it is. Why does it say an Oila, for heaven's sakes? It should simply say a Zevach, any Zevach. It could be a Chatas, it could be a Shlomim. If it's a Keves, according to Rav Chisda, the Or HaAliyah is going to be burned on the Mizbeach. So what's the point of mentioning Oila at all? It should just say a Zevach. Amalach HaRav Chisda. Well, I can give you a couple of answers to that one. I could tell you that we're talking over here about an Aliyah of a Gedi, and an Aliyah of a Gedi, and goat's Aliyah is only burnt on the Mizbeach, as everybody would agree, if we're talking about a Karban Oila. But if we're talking about anything else, and it's not the Aliyah of a Keves, it's the Aliyah of a Gedi, nobody will tell you it's supposed to go on the Mizbeach. Or, you know what? Maybe it's just like a little bit of a mix-up over here. You could read Zevach instead of Eila. People often will say Eila in the sense of something going up on the Mizbeach. Okay, so now here we get to the most fundamental question, and this Gemara allows us to open up the sugya fully in understanding the interrelationship of the time violations with the similar to time violation, which is, remember, we've got the machshava of a time violation, and we've got the reality of a time violation. The reality of the time violation is called notar, where you actually left something beyond its time. And now it is outside of its time, because the mechitza, the time that was meant for it, has passed. The same thing is true of chutz l'mekomo. You can have a machshava of chutz l'mekomo, and you can have an actuality of chutz l'mekomo. The name of that is called yotze. So if something was yotze chutz l'mechitzasai, it immediately becomes a treifa. As I pointed out to you, the meaning of treifa is chutz l'mechitzasai. That's why it's called basar basadeh treifa. It doesn't mean that it needs to be attacked by a wolf. It means if it's in a place which is not its proper mechitza, it is treifa. So has a double meaning, because being outside of a place means it's been ripped to shreds and barely exists. So that's part of the problem of being outside and alienated. It becomes a psul by itself. Now, taking all that into consideration, we need to look at two very central psukim for the whole idea, to get your chumash, for the whole idea of pigel. And there's two places where the Torah discusses pigel. One is in Tzav, and one is in Kiddushim T.E.U. And we call the pasuk for short, just in shorthand, we call the pasuk in Tzav the long pasuk, and we call the pasuk in Kiddushim T.U. the short pasuk. That's the short version. So here are the two psukim. If you take a look back in Tzav, and that is in Zion Yud Chet, let me get a little bit of light. Maybe I'll be able to see it too. So there the pasuk goes. This is a long pasuk. And at the end of today, Bezrat Hashem, we are going to understand every last word in that pasuk because it's an extremely weird pasuk in which we don't understand on the surface. It doesn't really add up. So here's what it says. Ve'im he'achol ye'achel. I don't know why this is double language, but anyway, if it was really eaten, the besar of the Zevach HaShlamim by Yom HaShelishi. Now remember, this is after telling me that it's meant to be eaten today ulamochorat, so it's eaten for 2 days. But if you ate it on the third day, then lo yeratzeh, which is ridiculous, because who cares when you ate it? Once the carbon was brought, it was already meratzeh. And that's going to be an indication that we're talking about a virtual notar, not a real notar. It wasn't really on the third day. It was your mind made it the third day. That's what this is going to end up meaning. So if you ate the carbon after thinking that you're going to be eating it on the third day, then lo yeratzeh, that's because at the time that you had that machshava, it could not anymore be dam that will be mechaper on the mizbeach. And then it adds, if you bring it, it's not going to be considered as if you brought it at all. Pigul yihyeh. V'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimenu avonatisa. And if someone actually eats of it, he will be carrying his sin, whatever that means. I mean, we know, but we don't know yet how we know, but we know that whenever it uses those words, avonatisa, or avonatisa, it is a reference to a chi of karet, but it doesn't say that yet in this pasuk. We're going to have to figure that out from the other pasuk. Now let's take a look at the other pasuk, which is in Kedoshim to you, in Perek Yutet, pasuk Zayin and pasuk Chet. So there it says, the Ime Achol Yachel sounds like it's going to be the same pasuk, but in fact it's very, very short. The Ime Achol Yachel Bayom Hashlishi Pigalu Lo Yeratzeh. Boom. Wow. So it cut out all of the confusing stuff. It's just pigo and lo yeratzeh. But the next pasuk actually tells us what avonah tisa means. Ve'ochlav avonoi yisa, ki et kodesh Adonai chilel v'nichrata nefesh. Now, actually, this pasuk is the mekor of a gzeira shaveh that will teach us that any time that it says Avonoi Yisa, what it means is v'nichrata. So actually, the only place where it really says karet is in Kedoshim Tiyu and not in Tzav. Okay, so keep all of that in mind. And now let's take a look at the various attempts that we make, which turn out to be wrong. And it's a lot of torture just to find out that you're wrong at the end. But the torture is extremely rewarding because it gets us the insights into all of the issues that we need to go through. And those are six different issues that are going to be interrelated in the strange way in which we have two things that are in your mind that are parallel to two things that are in time and space. And the question is the better relationship between the virtual and the actual, or is the better relationship between two virtuals and two actuals? Great kind of question, right? So is what's more likely? Is it more likely that a pigel of chutz l'mekomo is similar to a pigel of chutz l'zmano? Or is it more likely that notar, which is actually chutz l'zmano, is more like the machshava of chutz l'zmano? What a wonderful question. I love it. Okay. So that's what this whole problem is going to revolve around. But it's a lot more complicated than just that, because there are other factors that need to be considered, as we shall see. So let's try to make sense of it. Our first attempt is the way Rabbah tries to figure out the two psukim. So, Omar Rabbah, if we've got that pasuk, that first pasuk in Tzav, so what does it say over there? Ime ochel yochel biyom hashilishi. Okay, what that is referring to, Yom HaShilishi, is clearly a reference to outside of its time, because the pasuk had just said you've got 2 days to eat that shlomim, today and tomorrow. But if you're going to eat it on the third day, then that's talking about it's outside of its time. Now, that seems to mean that you actually ate it as notar. But as we're going to see, it cannot mean that. Because how could you possibly say that something that happens 2 days later, after you already brought the carbon and you put the dam on the mizbeach, you didn't do anything wrong, everything was great, and the carbon was already mechaper. Now 2 days later, you eat a piece of the meat that passes the carbon back in time? That's crazy. You don't even have to eat that meat for the carbon to be kosher. So how could that undo bringing a carbon? So it obviously cannot mean that. Therefore, we understand that the pasuk is talking about virtually you eat it on the third day, but you didn't really eat it on the third day. So in your mind, you were on the third day. So therefore, that shlishi is talking about the third day, which is called chutz lizmano. Okay. Then the pasuk continues and unnecessarily says, if it's telling me that it's not going to be Eretzeh, it then calls it Pigel. Now, what does that add? Pigel is actually a reference to Chutz L'Mikomo, and it's talking about the other virtual issue, which is a dimensional violation, so that you had in mind to eat it or to be makrivit Chutz L'Mikomo. And what does it say? V'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimenu. Aha, now, wait. I thought there's two different things here. What's mimeno lashon yochid? It could just say ha'nefesh ha'ochelet. I mean, if you're telling me ha'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu, which one? The mimenu, which was pigol, that you said, that's chutz l'mekayimai, or the mimenu of b'yom ha'shlishi, which is chutz l'zmano? Which one will the real chiyev kares please stand up? So was it the chutz l'zmano, or was it the chutz l'mekomo? I say, ha'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu is only one, not two. Which one? Ha-ha, obviously, zer chutz lizmano. It's only chutz lizmano and not chutz lekomo. So from this pasuk we learn, says Rabbah, that chutz lizmano is a chi of kares and chutz lekomo is not. Huh? How do you know? I don't understand. You could just as well say the opposite. Ve'ema, ha'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu. Which one is the real chi of kares? So chutz lemekomo. I mean, chutz lemekomo makes much more sense because it's the closest one. You said imi achel yachel biyom hashelishi ze chutz lizmano. Pigo, that is chutz lemekomo. Manefesh ochelet mimenu. I mean, more likely the one we just got finished talking about, and the one we just got finished talking about mimenu is the pigo, which is chutz lemekomo. Avonov yisa. And only chutz l'mekomo avono yisa. But when it comes to chutz l'zmano, then we will not say avono yisa. That's what I think. It makes more sense to me. Well, no, because, I mean, it's more reasonable that we should talk about chutz l'zmano. I mean, that was the whole beginning of the pasuk. I mean, it says, Imei yachel yachel b'yom ha'shelishi. The pigo is sort of like a throwaway line. So it makes more sense. You're not going to say chi of karas on the throwaway line. You'll say the chi of karas on the ikar focus of the pasuk, which was all about time. Imei yachel yachel b'yom ha'shelishi, right? Well, no, actually, I would say that if you're telling me it says mimenu, then it makes more sense that it be what we were just talking about. What were we just talking about? Chutz l'mekomo. Because it was 2 steps ago that we were talking about heyachel yeachel b'yom ha'shlishi, which was chutz l'zmano. You gotta pay close attention to this. If you're throwing hamburgers up in the air, Mordechai, While it's up in the air, you're going to lose that peace. Come down to earth. Now, it's important to hear every Nakuda. So, if this is the case, we should say that Samechle, what's close to the word Mimenu? Pigo. What's Pigo mean in the Pasuk? And you yourself said Pigo means Chutz L'Mekomo. So, how do you know what the real Chiyuv Karis is? Ela Amar Abaye, I'll tell you. Actually, you could not determine which one was the real Chiyuv Karis just based on proximity or on the logic of the beginning. There's a very good way to know which one it is. And when Rav Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, when he came, he quoted Rav as saying, the truth is that we're relying over here on a braita. The braita says like this, Kishu omer shlishi b'parshat kedoshim tiyu. Oh, here we go. Now we have to look at the next pasuk, which is, as I said, in Parshas Kedoshim, and this is in pasuk in Perek Yotet, pasuk Zayin, and it says, basically, the first part says very much what this pasuk says, word for word. V'im e'ocho ye'achel b'yoma shlishi pigohu. That's all that it says there. It doesn't have that whole business of lo yeratzeh, hamakrivo toleo chashevlo. Doesn't say anything about that, but it does say the word that it is pigo, yes, pigohu, and it does say lo yeratzeh. Okay, so now let's take a look at that pasuk now and see what the implications are there. The truth is, Rav explained that when we said that it's chutz l'zmano, that's the correct chorus, it was relying on the parsha in Kedoshim, which is called the Krozuta. That's the shortened version of the pasuk versus the Kro'abrika, which is in Tzav. So tell me, She'ein Talmud Lomar, was it really necessary to tell me this again? I already learned back in Tzav. Harekvar ne'emar, it said back in Tzav, v'imei achol ye'achel mibisar zevach shelamav b'yom ha'shelishi. So what is it adding? Why do we need a repetition in Kedoshim Tiyu of the same din of chutz l'zmanoi? Obviously, im eino inyan. So if it's not referring to chutz l'zmanoi, which we already know, so then this entire pasuk is actually a reference to chutz l'mekomo, and the pasuk in Tzav, which says avono tisa, is talking only about a chutz l'zmanoi. And it's here in Kedoshim that it says chutz l'mekomo. Now, I understand that the next pasuk says beferish in Kedoshim, the very next pasuk says that you're chayev kares. It says ve'ochlav avono yisa ki et kodesh Hashem chilel v'nichrata nefesh hayi me'ameha. Now look, that is a reference to notar. That's the point. It's talking about if you really did eat it on the third day, then you're going to be chayiv kares for achilat notar, which is not the virtual chutz l'zmano, it's the actual chutz l'zmano, right? So now we've got this weird understanding of the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about imei achol ye'achel. That's got to be a reference to virtual. Why? Because it says there that it is not going to be meratze. B'yom zivchachem ye'achel, v'im ye'achol ye'achel, pigel lo yeratze. How is that possible? Look what the Torah did to us over here. It started off telling us the zman of the achila. It says in Kedoshim Tiyu l'ritzonechem tizbachu b'yom zivchachem ye'achel. Eat it on the day that you bring it, u'mimachorat, and on the next day. But hanotar, if anything is left over, ad yom ha'shelishi, burn it. But if you eat it b'yom ha'shelishi, then it's pigo. No, it's not. It's no, sir. What the heck? You can't tell me lo yeretzeh if I eat something 3 days later that I'm going to go back in time. Oh my God. You understand the level of sophistication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks these meat brains are shayach to when they're really all a bunch of chutz v'zmanos? And nonetheless, they're meant to understand what this pasuk is saying. It's totally crazy. So it flips between the actuality and then the virtuality, and then it adds another pasuk, which is referring to what? The virtual or the actual? Well, the next pasuk says that if you do eat it, v'ochlav avono yisa, ki et kodesh Hashem chilel. How are you mechalel? Isn't that seeing the same thing as yeretzeh? And lo yeretzeh, can you be mechalel something by eating it 3 days later? V'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-yim yameh. So what was that pasuk referring to? That pasuk was coming to tell me, since it says over there, doesn't say ochal mimenu, but it says v'ochlav. Now, when it says it and not the other, why does it could have just said v'ochel avono yisa? What's the ochlav? What's that coming to tell me? It and not the other. It and not the other is to tell me only really notar is going to be mechayev you karet, but not the chutz lemekomo, which was the meaning of the pasuk before of the email chol yeachel. So therefore, the pasuk is coming to tell me, if you want to talk about karas, my friends, talk about the real thing. Don't talk about the thought, but not the thought of Nosar, but the thought of Chutz L'Mekoma. So therefore, if the actual pasuk was referring to Im Eino Inyan, specifically to Chutz L'Mekoma, and the next pasuk says, but if it's Nosar, you're Chayav Karas, but you're only Chayav Karas on one, that one means you're chayav on the noser, which is the real thing, but on the virtual non-noser, which is chutz l'mekomo, there you're not chayav. Woof! Wild. Now, the question, of course, is, why couldn't I say, if it's only one of the above being notar and chutz l'mekomo of all crazy combinations, but look, the Torah did this, not my fault, okay. So we've got this crazy combination, and we say only one of the above. Which one? Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the Ochlav Avono Yisa is referring to the aforementioned pigol, namely Chutz L'Mekomo. And when it says over here only one and not the other, it's coming to tell me, by the way, the real thing, which is the notar, is not a chiyuv karas. It's only an iser lav. Maybe that's what it means. How do we know? It's the same question we had. Will the real chiyuv karas please stand up? So notar stands up and pushes chutz l'mekomo. Get out of here, chutz l'mekomo. But now chutz l'mekomo says, get out of here, no, sir. You're not anything that has to do with brains. You have to do with a bunch of meat lying around. That's not a chiyuv of karas. So which one is it? Well, it's reasonable, says the Gemara, that it should be the real notar that is the one that is chayev karas, and not the chutz l'mekomo that's chayev karas. And I'll tell you why. Okay, now take a break and take a deep breath. Okay. Because we're going to have to get this next piece of external information first before we're able to conclude this brilliant understanding of the wrap-up of all of the psukim that are nogea. And that's the issue of what exactly do we mean when we're talking about avono yisa? Because, I mean, avono yisa could mean different things. For instance, v'nasa Aharon et avon ha-kodashim. Now, remember what that was referring to? That was referring to the avon of meat or dam that became tamei. Remember? Is there a chiyuv karas on that? No. The only chiyuv karas on tuma is a achilas kachim betumas haguf. So there's no avon hakodashim that Aaron is going to be no say that is actually a chiyuv karas. Now note, It says the word avon over there, and it says the word nose. Uh-oh. So then when it says avono tisa, that might be referring to the same nosiat avon that Aaron does, which is of Tuma and is not a Kiev of Chorus. In which case, it would tell me avono tisa does not mean Chorus. But it says the same word of hanefesh, when we're talking about auchlav avono yisa, v'nichreta hanefesh ahimea mea in kedoshim, right? And over there, it's a reference either to the notar or to the case of the chutz lemikoma. So, when you have this clear in your head, which is the avono, tisa, or yisa that we're going to learn out, the posik in tzav that does not mention karas, are we going to learn it out of Aharon nosei et avon hakodashim, and that will tell me that the posik in tzav is not a chi of karas? Or are we going to learn it out from here in Kedoshim Tiyu, where it couples v'nichrata hanefesh ahime ameha together with achlav avono yisa? Now, I ask you, now that you understand the implications of how we read this pasuk, they're massive. Because if lamaisa, what we're talking about over here, the real chiyuv chorus, is the chiyuv of nosar, and then here's the deal. If we're going to ask you, which avon, we've got two nosei avons, which avon, which is the gzera shava, are we learning from? Aaron's avon, or the pasuk over here about v'nichrata hanefesh? Well, if we understand that the notar is referring to chores, then we have the pasuk of the avon here to be compared to chutz lizmano. And would you not agree that it's much more reasonable for the avon to be the avon mentioned here in Kedoshim with the avon mentioned there in Tzav? Why is that reasonable? Because both of them are time violations. One is an actual time violation, and that's called notar. And the other one is a virtual time violation, and that's called chutz lizmano, right? Now, certainly, both of those things belong together. Would you not agree? They're both zman issues, and they both are going to pasul kachim under all circumstances, even if it's taking place, this korban, on a boma outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because time constraints apply outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well, whereas place constraints obviously cannot apply outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because a boma doesn't have a place. It doesn't have a specific place, right? Are we on board? Put the two together, and what do you get? A Zav. Huh? Yes, Zion stands for Zman, and Beis stands for Boma. So if you take a look at what the two of them together equal, they equal a Zav. And therefore, they're very similar to each other in those two ways. Yes, but wouldn't you rather have it similar to each other by being a Migdash instead of being a Zav? And actually, if we learn that the Chutz LeMikomo is the Kares, then we would have an even better way of learning out Avon as Gzera Shava, the Chutz LeZmano, and that would teach us that Chutz LeZmano is the same as the Chutz LeMikomo, because it's a Migdash. Wouldn't you rather have a Migdash? So now, how does the Migdash actually work? Well, the Migdash works beautifully. Mem stands for Machshava. Both of them are virtual. So wouldn't you rather compare a Chutz LeMikomo to a Chutz LeZmano, where both of them are virtual and neither of them is actual? Absolutely. And what is the Kuf? The Kuf is Miktsat. Remember, Any little bit is going to pass over the entire thing. Because we said, omiktzat bisaro. If it were referring to tuma, like v'nasa aharon et avon hakodashim, if part of something is tamei, does the whole thing become tamei? Of course not. If you had a separate kezayis, it's mekabel tuma, and the rest of it is completely kosher. So therefore, these ideas of virtual things add up, that they are the ones that should compare to each other. The Dalet stands for dam, and only one of the avodot adam, the shkita, the kapala, the holocha, and the zrika, are able to make that virtual problem. And that's not true about tuma. Tuma can be touched at any time by anything, has nothing to do with blood. And the shin of the Migdash is by Yom HaShilishi. Both of these psukim talk about Yom HaShilishi. It's crazy. Why are we calling Chutz LeMekomo a virtual third day? It's not a virtual third day. It's an out of place. So apparently it's a specific reference to these two things that relates in four ways instead of two ways, with a Migdash instead of a Zav, the Chutz LeMekomo to Chutz LeZmano, and tells us that both of them are Chiyav Kores, and that a non-virtual violation of time, which is called Notar, is not a Chiyav Kores. It all adds up beautifully, wrongly perhaps, but beautifully, you must admit. So, I challenge you. How do you know? Okay, I give up. We need more info. And here is the missing key so far. The missing key, says Rabbi Yochanan, is that Zavdi Bar Levi taught us a braita, which gives us the key. And that is, we learn out Gzeirah Shavah with the words of Kadesh to mean that what we're referring to over here is the Chiyav Kores Bedavka on the Nosar and not on the Pigol of Chutz LeMekomo. Because look, the Pasuk here, the short Pasuk in Kedoshim, it says, "Es Kadesh Hashem Chilel V'Nichrita." What do you think that additional babbling is about? What do you mean, et kodesh Hashem chilel? I mean, what does that tell me? Take a look at another pasuk. This is a pasuk back into Tzaveh. And look what it says over there. Ve'im yivater mibisar hamilu'im u'min alechem ad haboker v'sarafta et hanotar be'esh lo yeachel ki kodesh hu. Oh my gosh. So there's something about what you're doing by eating notar that refers to a violation of its status as Kodesh. So then when it's said over here, ki es Kodesh Hashem Chilel, it's the same Kodesh that it referred to in the Miluim. And what was that Kodesh? Notar. Says Beferish. V'sarafta ta notar ba'esh lo yeachel ki Kodeshu. Brilliant. So then that means that the Pusik itself is very clearly saying the Chiev of Karet mentioned in Kedoshim Tiyu is a putting together of not the Avono Yisa together with the idea of Vinichrita, and it's referring specifically to Kodesh Hashem, and Kodesh Hashem is identified in the Miluim as Notar. Therefore, just like over there, V'sarafta ta notar ba'esh, it meant malahala notar. Afkan, when it says Kodesh, it refers to notar. And it's saying, and only one of them is Chayiv Kores. Which one? Well, obviously the notar is a Chayiv Kores, which as we know from now, we know from the Gzeirah Shavah. And we now have a miut. What's the miut? The Ochlav, only one. And that's only one, not Chutz LeMekomo, and now Chutz LeMekomo is excluded from Karet. So that means that in Kedoshim, we're talking about Chorus of Nosar. The Miyat in Kedoshim is to tell me not the pigel that's mentioned in Kedoshim, the pigel in Kedoshim is the pigel of Chutzlus Mekaymai, because we already knew Chutzlus Manai from the pigel mentioned in Tzav, and therefore everything is great, except for one minor issue. How do you know that the Yom HaShelishi, referring to what you said, was Chutzlus Mano in Tzav, and the same word, the Yom HaShelishi, referring to Chutzlus Mekomo in Kedoshim, maybe it's the other way around. And then this whole argument proves the opposite. Maybe the first Yom HaShelishi was a reference to Chutzlus Mekomo, and the second Yom HaShelishi was a reference to Chutzlus Lizmano, and then when it said V'Ochlav in the context of the Gzer Shova of Kadesh on Noiser, it meant only, now that adds up, baby, so much better. Because instead of the Torah going back and forth with a Machshevas Chutzlus Mekomo and comparing Chutzlus Mekomo to Notar, which is driving me nuts over here, it would make so much more sense. Im Ivater, if there's any basar left over, don't eat it. And if somebody eats it, B'yom HaShlishi Lo Yeratzeh, that means even if he thought of eating it. And then if he actually eats it, as Noser Avono Yisan, he's Chayiv Kor. Doesn't that make sense? Instead of the crazy way that we're learning it now, in the context of Noser, we're going to say that it's talking about a virtual Chutz Limekomo instead of a Chutz Lizmano. Ari, this is very dangerous, because it says Beferish in that Mishnah, the skin of the nose of a Tzuri is considered to be soft and basar. So it's getting very close to being bitten. So anyway, this would seem to make much more sense. And Akiva showing me receipts for buying more Zoom, more Boost, is not going to do it. This is not virtual. This is the real thing and only the real thing. And don't think I don't know that that bottle is full of Noser. Okay. So now, this sort of pulled the floor out from under us. Because the whole Limud was all based on our assumption that when we were talking about Tzavs by Yom HaShlishi, we were talking about really the third day, B'machshava, and now you're telling me maybe it actually meant a different place, because one of them means a different place. So, my chazita dekra aricha b'chutz lizmano. Why is it that you understood that the long pasuk, which is the pasuk in Tzav, is the reference to Chutz Lizmano, and the short pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim Tiyu, that Yom HaShlishi over there was referring to Chutz Lamekaymai? Maybe it means exactly the opposite, and the Yom HaShlishi of Parshas Tzav is talking about Pigalu, and therefore it's a reference to Chutz Lamekaymai. Well, says the Gemara, it's only reasonable, isn't it? I mean, it's much more reasonable that the long pasuk in Tzav is talking about Chutz Lizmano, because we need to learn that Avain Avain from Notar. And that means we've got two things that would be Chayiv Koris, and they ought to match, because remember, Notar matches Chutz Lizmano. It doesn't match Chutz Lamekomo. The way that Notar matches Chutz Lizmano is by Tzav. Both of them are a question of Zman. The Notar is the real Zman violation, and the Chutz Lizmano is the virtual Zman violation, and both of them are bases. They can both be on a Bama. And that was the reason that we assumed that if the Torah is putting together Ovain Ovain, the Avayin that occurs in Kedoshim Tiyu, with the Avayin Ochlava Ochel Mimenu Avono Yitisa, is a reference to the same set. And that set is the set of Zion bases, where we've got time violations that are going to be Chal even on a Bama, right? So that makes more sense. No, because I can argue otherwise. I could say just the opposite. Adarabah. It makes more sense, for the longer pasuk in Tzav should be referring to Chutz LaMikomo, and the short pasuk in Kedoshim Tiyu as referring to Chutz LiZmano, because it's more reasonable to talk about the two things that are the same, Notar and Chutz LiZmano, instead of throwing in Chutz LaMikomo, and therefore the Torah actually, but Dafka puts it together with the real notar in order to tell me the difference between virtual notar and real notar. Doesn't that make sense? Why are you making it the other way around? I think this is 1,000 times more reasonable. Read the pasuk in Kedoshim to you and read the next pasuk that talks about the connection of Avonoi Yitzah with Vinyakrita Nefesh. See how reasonable it is. Well, obviously, we want to talk about notar juxtaposed with Chutz LiZmano. Why in the world would we juxtapose it with Chutz LaMikomo? Just to drive people in Daf Yomi crazy? There's got to be some reason why it did juxtapose that way. Oh, gosh. This is terrible, says the Gemara. We messed it up. Obviously, we have insufficient information to be able to do what we thought we could do, which was to split the two psukim between Tzav and Kedoshim, even with all the extra information that we were bringing, the psukim at Tzavah, and the dinim about the tzitz, and the nasar on the tzav. Oh man, we really thought we had it made, and now we got to throw the whole thing out. Oh, start over.
The truth is, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have been trying to put together the psukim in Kedoshim Tiyu with the Psukim in Tzav. Everything comes from the Pasuk in Tzav, and we don't need the Kedoshim. And it goes like this. Let's read that Pasuk over, and we're going to darshan every single word, and if you understand every single word properly, then you'll know why, first of all, there's both Chutz LiZmano and Chutz LaMikomo, and why Chutz LiZmano is Dafka Kores, and Chutz LaMikomo is not Kores, and all of the other dinim that we wanted to learn out, it all comes from this pasuk if you look carefully. So let's take a look at the pasuk. Ve'im he'achol ye'achel mi'bisar zevach shelamav b'yom ha'shevinshi lo yeratze ha'makriv oto lo yechashev lo pigul yihyeh v'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimena avonat tisat. Now we want to understand every single word separately. So let's start from the beginning. First of all, it says, he'achol ye'achel, two different types of achila. Okay, that's my first diak, says Rava. B'shtei achilot ha'katub medaber, obviously, there's two problems of achila. Otherwise, why are we saying, he'achol ye'achel? Must be one of them is achilat adam, and one of them is achilat ha'mizbeach. So that's as far as what your machshava was. I'm going to eat something that was roi for Adam, chutz l'zmano, or chutz l'mikomo, as we haven't seen yet, or I'm going to put something on the mizbeach, chutz l'zmano, or chutz l'mikomo. Then it says, mi besar zevach shelamav. So if you start with the word over here, the zevach shelamav, it means that all zvachim, because we don't need the zevach, so it means that just like shlomi, have in it two elements, which are the matirim, which are the mefaglim, and then they have the part that goes on the mizbeach, which is the mitpaglim, and the part that's eaten by Adam, which is the mitpaglim. And remember, that's always central to our discussion. There needs to be two separate components, the matirim, and what it is that they're matirim, which is what it is that you have kavana to eat, either you or the mizbeach, chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mikomo. So just like a shlamim has those two components, so too anything that has those two components is zevach like shlamav. Of course, mefaglim u'mitpaglim. So now we know that pigul is a universal. Now, then it says, v'yom ha'shelishi. Ah, so yom ha'shelishi is obviously chutz l'zmano, because the pasuk before said but the bayom ahu yeachel v'lemocharat. You're supposed to eat it for 2 days, but if you eat it bayom ha'shelishi, then it's messed up. Okay, so far it doesn't say thought to eat it. It just says to eat it. We're assuming that to eat it means, as we're going to explain later on why, to think about eating it, and it doesn't mean literally to eat it. Because we know the answer to that, because it says the lo yiratzen, how is it possible that it should be ex post facto passing the carb, right? So shalishi, that is chutzizmanu. And then when it says lo yiratzen, it implies that you need to be miratze pigel. What does that mean? It means that only if the pigel was brought completely like a carbon kosher, except for the fact that it's pigel, except for the fact that it's chutz l'zmanu, then it's pigel. But the moment that you would mess up the hartzas kosher, so you do something that would have ruined a carbon if it weren't pigel, then it can't be pigel either. It has to be pure 100% kosher carbon, except for the fact that it's chutz l'zmanu, because that's your imaginary sense of where you are. So your virtual carbon is a regular carbon, except it's chutz l'zmanu. Okay, so that becomes a gavi klal, hartza'at kasher, ken hartza'at pasul, and therefore ma hartza'at kasher. You have to do all of the matirin properly, ad she'akrivu kol matirav, af hartza'at pasul, it has to be yikrivu kol matirav. So until you do the zrika all the way, in other words, let's say you had a bakshevish chutz l'zmanu on the shechita, until you get to doing the zrika properly, you don't have pigel, despite the fact that you already had the machsheves pigel. Doesn't make any difference. Now, then it says hamakriv oto. So what does that tell me? It means that it is only nifsal during the actual act of the hakrava and not eating it on Yom HaShlishi. So this is like a completely different way of recognizing that the problem is not the problem of Nosar, the problem is how you were makrivit. So you were makrivit with the machshava of eating it. So that's only b'shas hakrava. But if you actually waited till the Yom HaShlishi and you ate it on Yom HaShlishi, you're not going to be possibling it at all. Then it says, hamakriv oto. So what does oto mean? Oto teaches me that it's the carbon that we're talking about. And it's the carbon that will be nifsal. But the person who does the hakrova, who is the kohen, is not affected by it. Because you might have thought that once a kohen does avoda with a machsheves pigo, he's pasul to do avoda. So he's low. He is now the puzzle thing, and it's dafka to exclude that, where it says, no, it's only oto lo yechashev, but the kohen is still yechashev as a kohen, and he doesn't lose his status of kahuna, which I might have thought. So that's what the oto is coming to tell me, and lo yechashev, it's not going to be that which you were mechashev on. Oh, wow, a totally new approach. Lo yechashev means don't have any other machshavas. So in order for pigel to be pigel, you cannot have an additional machshava, let's say, of shelo lishma on a chatas or on a pesach, or have another machshava of chutz l'mikomo at the same time that you had on one part of it a chutz l'zmanu, because that would mean that you would be ruining the carbon with your other machshava. And that you must not do. What do you have over there? You don't need to record the daf, do you?
Huh? Oh, I'm just plugging my batteries.
Oh, okay. So therefore, it's teaching me that you cannot have any eruv machshava, right? Then it says pigulu. Well, we already know lo yechashev. So what's the pigulu? That is adding a different pigul, namely a chutz l'mikomo. So up until we had here Yom HaShlishi was chutz l'zmanu, now the extra word pigul, and it says pigul yihyeh. So what does that mean? Yihyeh means that both of them have the same havaya, which means that you can be mitzarev two types to pasul a carbon, but it won't be chayv karas. But if you had part of a carbon, so let's say you had a chatzi kizayis of one and a chatzi kizayis of the other. So a chatzi zayis you were going to eat chutz l'zmanu, and a chatzi zayis you were going to eat chutz l'mekemei. This tells me you can be mitzarif them, not for karis, obviously, Because for Chorus, you need entirely pure pickle chutzis mano. But you could be mitzarif it to passel the carbon. Then it says, v'ha nefesh al chelet mimenu, which is avonatisa, and it says mimenu, only from one of them, right? Which we were dying earlier. So that tells me that only if it's mimenu is it considered to be one of them, not both of them. Echad v'lo shnayim. Which is the echad? It's got to be the chutz mizmano. Why? Because the chutz mizmano is the only one that we can learn out avon avon minotar. Because notar is chutz mizmano. It's just not virtually chutz mizmano, but it's literally chutz mizmano. So if you're going to be applying the avon avon, as we said before, the only logical way to apply avon avon is to apply nosar to chutz lizmano virtually, because it's both of them are zov. Zov being zman and boma. And they're both chal on a boma, and both of them are psulim in zman. One actual zman and one virtual zman. Do you think I could be my triach? I feel terrible, but some tea or something. I'm like, oh, okay, good. Thank you so much.
Everybody connect. I was trying to connect on the way.
Okay. Continuing on, so it's Domi Labazov, so now we know basically everything, right? Okay, that is the drasha of Rava, and that concludes this daf.